My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
You're tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money. Making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, with my co-host, Andrew, my son, Newman.
What's up?
And we got Joey G in the box.
Hello.
Hey, Joe. We're good, Mike.
Yeah, it worked this time.
Wow.
Are you nervous? Are you scared?
We're really making great strides.
You scared?
That's a great commercial.
We have celebrities in the house.
We're broadcasting from the back of Roberta's restaurant in downtown beautiful Bushwick, Brooklyn.
Downtown?
Downtown.
I think you're making crap up.
Maybe it's the Heights.
You're just making crap
up. Are we in the Heights? Bushwick Heights?
There is no such thing.
All right, well, we can coin it.
No,
you
can't.
Coin it.
You can't just make shit up.
So stream
Joe,
live every Thursday
that.
From 4:30 to 5, and if you can't tune in when we're streaming, you can get a listen in on all the episodes.
Wow.
Are
you scared today? Are you scared today?
Or you can download a free podcast from iTunes and listen to Flash Talks Cash anytime.
Show me your
all
hands.
The time.
Show me your hands so you can't so you don't have to voice it. Let me see your hands. You're shaking.
So today's show is we're going to talk about the Facebook problems. No one wants to be a Facebook friend this week.
Okay, why not?
Well, as
what
we
happened?
All know, unless you live under a rock, the Facebook stock went out publicly last Friday.
IPO.
And, of course, there was a lot of chatter and all this excitement about it, the largest internet company, tech company ever.
Second largest IPO of all time.
So,
did you know General Motors IPO was that late? I didn't know.
I didn't know either.
I know they were a privately owned company.
I didn't know that either.
Interesting, right?
Well, I'm glad we have you here with these little tidbits of info.
I read the newspaper.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
So today we're going to talk about Facebook.
What about it?
Everybody loves Facebook. Well, a lot of people love Facebook.
See, no, everyone has Facebook. Not everyone loves Facebook.
I did correct myself.
No, you said everyone likes Facebook.
No,
not
then
everyone
I
likes
changed
Facebook.
It. Then
to
I
what?
Changed it.
What'd you change?
Well, because you interrupted me. I said everybody
I
loves
clarifying.
Facebook. Then I changed it to a lot of people love Facebook.
No, see, I don't even think a lot of people love it. I think everyone has it.
I don't know.
It's like a networking, socializing tool.
Yeah, but I don't know, because I'm not a big fan of Facebook.
You have a Facebook?
I do. And
blowing up? We should do a Flash Talks Cash Facebook page.
I do have a Facebook.
We do?
As a matter of fact...
I'm not even on that page.
As a matter of fact, I sent out a little blast today from the Flash Talks Cash Facebook page today.
I didn't see it. I'm not on the page.
Well, you're probably not a friend.
Why didn't you tell me about a page?
I just did.
This is the worst place to have this conversation.
Let's talk about the stock, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
So the stock, as it has happened a number
Hold
of
on.
Times...
Hold on. Joe, are you a fan of the Facebook Flash Talks Cash page?
He will be after the show.
Yes, I will be after the show.
Let's get that going right now. I'm going to get the computer out.
Can you please let me do my stock talk, okay?
Do your stock talk.
Because we can do the Facebook thing anytime after the show, okay?
Go.
So the question is, the issue is, lots and lots and lots of investors, big boys, the big guys, the big guns, and small investors all like IPOs because they have an opportunity to cash out quickly and make a lot of money on that stock. That's very common, especially with these internet tech stocks.
I think any IPO is pretty much the same.
Well, not all, but some
not
are
all of them, but
overhyped.
They
and
were
this
really
was one.
Name behind
this
them.
Was one. They were going to put out a lot of shares, a lot of opportunity to make a lot of money. So what happened was the stock came out at $38, which was not, in retrospect, a bargain price, and there were a lot of problems for a lot of people to purchase the stock. So now it's a week later. I'm going to tell you some information and let you know what happened. They set aside 10% of the stock for retail customers. The other 90% go to the institutions, mm-hmm. the big boys, the hedge funds and what have you. And the 10% go to retail investors, which are people who can now buy their own stock through their own accounts, individuals and smaller fish. Well, they had a lot of problems getting through with their purchase orders and their sell orders. NASDAQ is now in trouble because they didn't handle the they had technical problems Monday or Friday.
Well, they had when they opened, they were supposed to open at 11. They didn't even get on until 11:30.
Right. And then they had technical problems, and they couldn't transact all the buys and sells.
Okay.
So people were delayed in getting their stock and selling their stock. So there was a lot of money lost. So this was the beginning of the problem at the beginning of the week. So, you know, there's people who bought in at 38, and by Monday and Tuesday, the price had stumbled down to 31, 32.
What is it at now?
I think it's in the low 30s.
Okay.
So these guys lost a lot of money. Because they said they couldn't get in and they couldn't get out fast enough to, you know, to time the market and other things. Frankly, I really believe that that's a pretty lousy way to invest money, you know, to expect to just make this money one day for an IPO. That's a, you know, if that's the only way you're going to buy and sell stock, that's a lousy strategy. But, you know, I'm not a financial advisor. So these people want to go in and pop, make that money 1, 2, 3. Now, so that's what's going on there. There is a strategy.
Did you hear about the lawsuit?
There's a couple of different lawsuits. Okay. So there is a strategy when they're pricing the stock to either keep the price high so the company makes the maximum amount of money on the IPO issue, or to lower the price a little bit so the investors can make that one day pop and be happy. And so they have to balance that and determine what is the right price so, you know, the parties who they're interested in protecting get their protection. So in this case, it seems they opted to make the Facebook shareholders the winners as far as the company, and the shareholders who were buying and selling, there was very little wiggle room to make that one day pop, and that's the beginning of the problems. Now, a couple of days later, it's getting out now that the big guys, When an IPO is preparing to go out, they do what they call a roadshow. And they go out and they start touting the company and the financials. The companies are not legally allowed to do projections. When you do an IPO, there are strict rules you have to follow with the SEC and all the other...
Why can't you do a projection?
They can't do projections because they're based on something that's not definitive.
What about historical data?
Historical data, yes. So they did. They can't issue projections, but they can. Show them in a meeting. They can talk about them, but they can't put them in the IPO offering documents.
Okay.
So what happened was the initial projections that were part of the roadshow in April were the revenue was a range, and it led for a very nice place for Facebook to wind up. As they got closer to the IPO, they found that their revenue range was too optimistic, and they pulled it back and they lowered their projection to the lower end of the range, which affected the share price. Now, they're not allowed to put that in the IPO documents, but they did go around to the big customers, the big banks behind closed doors, and shared that information, which now the small shareholders are claiming they didn't have access. They didn't have access to all the information to determine what the price is. So there comes one of the small-time investors, and they're not that small. I think the name of the company, let me see, the name of the company is, Knight. It's called Knight Capital Group. They lost between $30, $35 million on the stock.
Because they didn't go to them. They went to JP Morgan Chase.
Right, and Goldman and the other boys and all the other big hedge funds knew about it. So they filed the first lawsuit about the losses. Now Morgan Stanley is looking into how they handled the IPO. They were the bank for the IPO. And they are now looking at it, and they're considering reimbursing some of their customers for the losses that they incurred with the Facebook stock. There is now a lawsuit out, like I said, against NASDAQ, and there's rumors out there now of switching Facebook to the New York Stock Exchange, taking it off the NASDAQ.
Why?
Because they feel that NASDAQ can't handle and did us a poor job, and they want
Apple's on the NASDAQ. So
that's what they want. That's what the talk now.
What's the difference?
I guess
they're trying to cover up their flub.
Perhaps. Well, there's
with
a lawsuit. There's a lawsuit now against NASDAQ, and so maybe they don't want to be associated. That and maybe in the future, they don't want to continue to party with these people. Anyway, that's another thing that's going on right now. So, as you know, so then after all of this is going on, and this has been only going on for like we're talking about
a week,
less than a week. So now the government's involved. There's congressional committee and there's Senate committees now looking into the Facebook problem. And I say when it gets to that point, we're really in trouble because, you know, they move at a snail's pace.
I just think the whole Facebook thing was overvalued. I feel like it's a lot like AOL.
Yes.
And the value of the stock is only in advertising. And, you know, I personally don't click on a single link,
right,
let alone what anyone else does. Right. And a lot of people, like they said, General Motors is pulling their advertising from Facebook, right?
That's right. Right after
the IPO. They said they're pulling all their funding.
It wasn't worth it.
Yeah, and then I heard Ford put in like $30 to $40 million a year into advertising on Facebook, and I just don't understand how you're going to reap any reward from that. I can understand like doing maybe like having a Facebook page and doing like a promotion saying, "Oh, come like my page or something and check it out," but then maybe winning a car. But advertising in general on there, I just don't see the reward in it. Like you're on the side, people don't even look at that stuff mostly.
Well, maybe
unless you're like a game.
I think the game's where they get
the
some money.
The games make a lot of money, but why would anybody of substance like Ford or someone advertise it?
I don't know. They must have some really good reasons because they're pouring millions of dollars into it.
It's just another venue for them, but I just still don't see the upside to that kind of advertising.
So now the talk is, is this the end of the tech bubble that, you know, has been going on recently in Silicon Valley? Because we went through this internet bubble burst early.
That was a long time ago.
In 2000.
Yeah.
You know, it ran up. All those companies ran up from the late 90s into 2000. And the numbers were monopoly dollars. You know, they didn't make any sense in relation to what the revenue and what the returns could be on those stocks.
Well, all you're doing is you're thinking of intellectual property and not real assets and real revenue streams. Like, it's all hypotheticals. There's no realist thing behind that to prove that these things are worth that much money.
That's right. So now, you know, this talk about, is this the end of the bubble? Because it's been going on for a while. You know, all this new recent company, LinkedIn and
eBay. I don't know who you're talking about.
No, the recent tech companies that went out. The Groupon and Instagram, all those. So all of those have been coming out and, you know, coming out at very high numbers, and lots of them have never shown any profits at all in the history of their company. It kind of rings similar bells to what went on in the late 90s when the bubble burst in 2000. It kind of feels the same because the valuations are really, you know, they're like I said, monopoly money. The projections are pie in the sky numbers, and no.
It reminds me a lot of AOL.
Yeah,
like they bought this giant company that had users. It has users, but it has no tangible assets.
Time Warner bought them.
Yeah, I'm saying when they were overvalued.
Yes,
and it just plummeted and ruined the whole stock. I think it's the same situation here with Facebook. They have a lot of users.
Yes,
but the tangible asset.
Yeah,
is
the
not
revenue
there.
Source.
There's
is
no. Hard. There's no asset there to be purchased, or there's no revenue stream that's going to garner a return on this investment. And I just don't see where this is going to make money for either an investor or even Facebook itself.
Facebook made their money.
They already did.
Yeah,
they did. They're out. Like, there's no point. There's nothing you can really. I think more people are going away from Facebook than joining it at this point.
Well, there's other options now. And that was probably the first of a new wave of types of companies, you know, like the social media company. That was the biggest and the best. Just like AOL was the biggest and the best internet, you know, platform. So now, you know, you're right. Other things might come along and just knock it right on its knees. But the last thing I want to say before we go to break is, you know, these small investors, this 10% retail, the problem with these people, and it could be you and me, it could be our advisors who are investing our accounts, it could be a small pension account, it could be, you know, what they deem small. Small is not necessarily small. But anyway, we have an opportunity. After the 1987 stock crash, they instituted the SOS, where small order execution system, where we could get in as the same way a big investor could get in to buy and sell stock. And so they allocate a small portion to these small buyers. But the system, the system was set up where they didn't have the amount of retail. The retail buyers back in those days aren't the same style and type of retail buyers that are out there now. And the system is antiquated. The system doesn't really work for what's going on with this retail. So there's got to be changes made to that.
I have questions because I don't know what the system is. Let's take a break and then you can explain that to me.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be right back and we'll talk about that. Okay. Talks Cash. We're back and talking about the IPO for Facebook. Did you see the movie?
Yeah, I saw that.
That's the movie theme.
I got that.
Okay.
Is that a Radiohead? No.
Yes, it's a Radiohead song, right? Redone by a group called Scala.
Got it.
Yeah. So anyway, the system that I was talking about is, you know, the stock market is set up where, you know, the guys who go to work every day and trade, the big boys, they have access to...
The floor, right.
And the computer trading also. And they're market makers. So anyway, there's a whole system set up for these guys to do their business every day, all day long. And they have such high-level computers, or they have such intimate relationships that they get their orders in and out faster than you and I could get it. And that's what happens here. Okay. So they put up a system years ago to fix that. But the retail market is not the same. It has evolved into something different now. There are people who buy and sell it right at home from their own computers. There are people who use small brokerage firms. There are small hedge funds that are still considered small retailers. They don't have access to the same trading platforms that the big boys do.
Gotcha.
Okay, so that was one of the big problems. So now let's, hopefully next week, Facebook will recover from this bad week that they had.
Why? I don't see, what are they going to recover to?
Well, the price could go up.
To what though?
Well,
there's no value in it.
I think there is value.
What is?
There is value because people didn't go out there and spend that kind of money just based upon somebody's dream.
Yes, that's what people usually buy in IPOs.
Well, again, I started it off like that. I don't agree with that type of investment. If that's your investment strategy, that's a pretty bad one because it's not based on valuation. But I do believe that there are sophisticated investors out there who part of their strategy is buying IPOs, and they buy IPOs where they see some value. And I think there is value. I mean, Facebook's not a valueless company.
Of course not, but I just don't see how it's valued higher than the current price, the stock price.
Well, I don't...
Unless they do something to improve it, where they're going to garner more revenue, I don't see...
Well, they could land a big kahuna, a big account, and...
But I don't understand what big account... It's not like an advertising firm.
Or they could come out with a new...
They need to come out with something new that's going to make...
A new product to make people...
Because I think the changes that they did make and forced it on people is not the most beneficial way to grow your business. I was more willing to come... leave Facebook than stay on it with the changes that they made and forced upon people.
You mean when they had the privacy issues?
The privacy issues, the timeline issues, and putting everything on there. And the proprietary rights to your stuff is a little...
One-sided.
Yes, it's not something I like. And
they're not protected one bit.
And it's the same thing with Google, too.
Yeah.
They both have that similar thing, and it really is kind of scary that they have that kind of access to your information.
Well, Andrew... let's stay tuned and see what happens over the next few weeks to this, because I think you're right in that this is the first company, big company that came out with the social media thing. And there's lots of people or companies out there now doing all sorts of variations on social media. And I do believe that this Facebook and is in infancy stage. We're at the infancy stage of social media. We don't know where this is going to go. To think back when you first started using computers when you were a young kid to what we use now, it exploded. And so I think social media is just going to keep exploding. In 10 years, you're going to look back and say, oh my God, remember when we used to do this on Facebook? And, you know, we'll be so far away from that. Well, let's move on to an interesting thing regarding electronics, smartphones. I found, you know, I bought an iPhone a few months ago, and I was able to sell my old Android phone. I didn't get very much money for it, but I was able to sell it because, you know, we all collect old dead phones. Andrew is just not even listening to me.
I'm listening.
And,
what do you mean, stare at you?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm not staring at you.
Why are you staring at that woman?
I was not. I was not staring at that woman. I hope she's not listening. God damn it, Joe. You see what she's doing to me? She's throwing me right under the bus here.
Well, just stop staring then, Andrew.
I was not staring. I was just looking at the booth. Looking out the window.
Joe's
I can't look out the window?
So there are lots of websites.
Now I'm staring at someone, Joe.
There are lots of websites that will take back your electronics, smartphones, your Xboxes, your iPads, all sorts of electronic goodies. And you get some pretty good values for them. If you want to throw them in the drawer, you might as well look on the web and see who's going to give you the most money. I did a little shopping. I got some money for it. The key to this is the better the product, the more desirable the product, the higher the value, the resale value is, right? What is your girlfriend texting you now?
I think she just did.
She's listening.
You see what you're doing?
Stop. Don't even.
Me.
Don't
this even is your fault. This is your fault. Joe, you see what she does? She gets me in trouble.
All right. So
Andrew,
can we?
You get yourself in trouble.
I do not, Joe.
Can we please go on to how to get the best resale value? And I'm not talking chump change. There are things that an iPhone that you might have paid $400 for, Xbox, or an iPad, and you could get up like $300 from it. Oh, Andrew's not talking because his girlfriend texted him during the show. That's no good. Okay, you should wait till after the show. Give me a break.
Are you kidding me?
Give me a break.
You're throwing out some crap onto. I was not staring.
All right. I'll explain later.
It's
I'm not doing
time.
It online.
This is business time.
This is business time. So
yes.
Put the phone down.
Yeah. Good. Thanks, Joe.
Really, Joe?
Yeah. He's not kidding. So if you know you have a phone that's in really good condition, you'll get even better money. You can take care of some of the things such as a cracked glass front. I didn't know. It's a simple kit you can go and buy and replace the glass front and get better value when you turn it in, or you can send it into a company that will change the glass for you. So if you keep the box, you keep the charger, you keep the instructions, when you go to resell, all these things will add value because somebody will buy them and feel like they really got a brand new product. The more, the better the condition, the more value you have. You can sell them on these various websites, and I'm not going to go to all these websites. There's tons of them. Or you can sell them on Craigslist or eBay. You know, there is some problems with some of those people who sell on eBay and Craigslist because sometimes they're stolen phones.
That could be happening anywhere. I don't understand what the difference is.
Well, that's true. But they have a more higher scammer rate, I think, than those other sites.
Oh,
Maybe I'm wrong.
This is the business I had to get back to, Joe. She's making stuff up.
No. There's like the anonymity that comes with like eBay. You know, you don't.
But no, there's user ratings and reviews. And
there's
if you
user
don't,
ratings, but as but
like
not
Google.
Craigslist, not Craigslist,
not Craigslist.
Craigslist there's no user ratings,
and there's no reason to do anything on. But
I
eBay
think Craigslist
has,
is a great source to buy and sell stuff.
Go ahead.
I have been selling stuff on Craigslist for months now.
That's great.
And I have, you know, I can weed out the scammers. Their tricks are the same. So once you got the first scammer, the scams are the same over and over and over again.
Another good one, you go on the Amazon, like Amazon.com,
yes,
and then it's, you go on the marketplace, and then you undercut whatever it is, you know,
by a penny or a dollar.
By a penny, a dollar,
yeah,
exactly.
Right,
so what are
right.
the scams that people use?
No, I'm not. That's a different show.
That's a whole show. We can do a whole show on the scams.
Well, I could certainly talk a lot about Craigslist and the good things and the bad things about Craigslist. But I just want to keep to these electronics. You know, there's Let me just give you a name, a few of them. Swappa.com. Those are for Android devices. Glyde.com for gadgets and games. Gazelle.com for Apple products. And there's lots more. You can sell headphones and you can sell digital cameras. I remember years ago I went to go sell your Nintendo games. Didn't I try to sell you Nintendo games?
No, you kept telling me to pick them up from your house.
But you and I told you I was going to sell them. Did you sell them?
No,
you
I threw them out.
I thought you and Muhammad were going to sell them.
I threw them out.
See, Andrew's not that kind of guy that's going to put a little energy into it.
How much time do you spend doing this?
I don't care. I find it to be entertaining.
That's the difference. You find it entertaining. I find it a waste of time.
Well, give them to me. I'll take care of it.
In the garbage. They're gone.
You know, I sold textbooks years ago. My boyfriend,
I didn't buy textbooks.
My boyfriend went for his master's above the master's. So he had all his textbooks. And as soon as he finished, I said, what are you doing? He puts them on the shelf. I said, no way. And I got $150 for his books.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic.
It's okay. Very exciting.
So I like the secondary market. And, you know, lots of people, majority of people throw their phones in the drawer and they just leave them there.
You need them for backup. What if your phone breaks?
Well, you know.
How many, like, I don't understand.
And the sooner you sell it, the more value. The longer you hold on to it, the less the value, especially when they're coming out.
Question.
Go ahead.
Your phone breaks.
Yes.
You need a replacement.
Yes.
You're not up for your contract renewal.
Right.
What? So
now you're gonna have to go buy
something. You buy something full price.
Right.
You sold something for $200. You're buying something for $600.
Well, you go
Who's
buy
winning?
A used one.
You lost.
You could go buy a used one.
But what's wrong with the one you had? Then you have to go in contacts again.
Well, I don't. Fortunately, I haven't had that issue where my phone broke.
A lot of people have that issue.
Well, I didn't. But let me just say one more thing, and then we'll move on.
Don't
to the
sell
next
your time. Phones. You need them backups.
No, I don't agree.
I
don't agree. And if you the longer you keep it, the less value it has. And when they're ready to issue a new model, that phone becomes even less valuable. So you got to sell it before they're going to issue a new model, such as they're planning on issuing a new iPhone. I guess it's iPhone 5 or 6.
So, but why do you have to
in
buy it?
September, October. Now, some people will sell their phone now because the resale value is very high. If they wait to close to when the new phone gets released, all of a sudden that older model plummets. So there's a timing thing, and lots of people do it, and they wind up buying and selling their phones, and that's how they handle their electronic stuff. So that's just a way for you to make some money or save some money. That's what we're here for, right? So finally, I want to talk about the millionaires in New York City.
Can we talk about gas prices?
No. We could do that next week or the week after.
Okay.
But I want to tell you, you know, I advise a lot of small businesses, especially when they're starting businesses, that, yes, New York City, we pay a lot of taxes. And one of my favorite line is, but this is one of the few places that you can make $1 million. And it is true. New York City has higher wealthy people than any other city in the country. And let me explain. The wealthiest 1% of New York City residents take in one-third of the income of the city, okay? So that's a lot of money that a small group holds, okay? And we found the large percent of New Yorkers earned high incomes and low incomes with a very small middle income class in the city. And that's unusual for this country. We are not typical of this country. So when we look at our fellow New Yorkers and see how much they're making, the rest of the country has a different take on it. The most striking difference between New York and the rest of the country is the concentration of earning power at the high end. In 2009, nearly 15,000 people filed adjusted gross incomes of $1 million or more dollars.
Income. A lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. That accounted for less than 0.5% of the total number of filers, but they took in 27% of the income in the city.
Makes sense.
That's a lot of money for a very small group of people. That means we have some very wealthy people in this country.
In the city.
Nationally, people who earned at least $1 million in 2009 collected less than 10% of the income.
Nationally.
So New York City is just off the charts with these rich people.
Well, what else is new?
Okay. In the average income for the bottom 99% of New York City rose from $42,000 in 2000 to a high of $50,000 in 2007 and then fell back down to $47,000 in 2009.
Okay.
So that's 99% of the people.
Average income of 40, household or?
This is all done by tax returns, so it's filers. So it could individuals. Be married couples. It could be single people.
Still, the average is 47.
Yeah,
pretty low.
Yeah. But the median income in, you know, around the country is like 40,000.
I understand.
Yeah. Okay.
But the cost of living here is much higher.
Yes. So during the same period, to get into the top 1%, they rose sharply from 2000 to 2007, but then fell sharply after 2008 during that fiscal crisis. So they rose.
So what are you telling me here, Joanne?
The top 1%. The average adjusted gross income was in 2000 was $460,000. 2007, it had gone all the way up to $660,000. And then in 2009, it had dropped back down to $492,000.
Where do you fall on this sliding
scale? I'm not talking
scale?
About myself.
Slippery slope, my dear.
No,
slippery
I'm not talking
slope.
About myself. But I want to just say.
Because I'm up there. I make $1 million a year.
Yeah.
Right, Joe?
Yeah.
Me and Joe are in the Millionaires Club.
Oh, okay. Definitely.
We pop bottles. We make it rain up in this mofo. Yeah,
and then it has been raining up in here. We got a leak.
Yeah,
yeah. And that's how we make it happen.
And I collect the bottles and cash them in for the nickel. Okay,
that's because you're cheap. That's you know who the cheapest people in the world are? The millionaires. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's
true. Out.
But I just want to tell you that only in New York can you not only, but it's so easy in New York to make the $1 million. But we do have a higher cost of living, and we do have to pay more taxes, but it's worth it. All right, I'm going to sign off this week. We have a special guest coming in next week, Marco Passanello, talk about his decision to open up a wine store, and we'll talk about the financial aspects of that, and we'll see you then. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.